Is it possible for us to order a pizza and have it delivered to this review? That is, in fact, the only good thing about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
If you own a pizza company.
If you own a pizza company, or if you find yourself on the fence about whether or not you're hungry for pizza, it will push you in the direction of hungry for pizza.
Will you please stop talking about pizza?
I can't. I'm sorry. That's all I can think about, because having to actually digest this movie is causing some acid reflux. But this is, in fact, the highly suspect review of what is actually the last big movie of the summer. I think I said it was Guardians in the last review, but that was wrong, because we still had this tornado of shit that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And we have gathered the unusual suspects. Obviously, I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
JC.
I'm Ed Travis.
I'm Richard.
All right, so that's these are our heroes.
Let's get on with the secret of the booze we gave this movie.
Seriously, I'm only a hero on the half drunk right now, and we need to step it up a bit if we're going to make it through this review. I'm done talking. You guys go. I can't. You know, Jonathan Liebsman. What is the term? Is fucking terrible.
Retire.
Yeah, he is just a terrible director who makes films like Battle Los Angeles and Wrath of the Titans. Ugh. And just please stop.
And Darkness Falls. Don't forget Darkness Falls.
Oh, believe me, there is no forgetting Darkness Falls. Therapy sessions and extensive therapy bills are testament to that. So I'm done talking.
I will credit him for being a man who had obviously lightly heard of the concept of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but had actually seen Amazing Spider-Man and stole... if you're wondering what the storyline of this... it's basically Amazing Spider-Man, but replaced Peter Parker with four terrapins and an extremely badly CGI'd rat.
Terrapins are British guys.
I know.
I love
That's
it.
A technical term.
Specifically, you'd be replacing Peter Parker with April O'Neil, sort of, in a weird way.
Megan Fox looking concussed for 94 minutes.
She's got dead eyes.
She
is dead inside. Like her, she's got one expression throughout this whole movie, and I think that's why a lot of it doesn't work. It's why a lot of the humor doesn't work, because every time they try to get self-referential, every time they try to be in on the joke, which we already established during the Transformers review, is something Michael Bay is not capable of. He's not capable of irony. But every time they try to be in on the joke, she's supposed to be the straight man, but she looks so confused by flashing lights and slightly loud noises and movement that you can't. You can't even count on her to play the straight man. It's like, I don't even think...
She's a human Zemeckis character. There's nothing going on.
She is the uncanny valley.
I guess I'm attracted to dead eyes.
You know, I just thought of her as a sex doll, and it worked for me.
Yeah.
She also has some wonderfully inappropriate heavy breathing.
Thank you.
Yeah, was that
thank
not
you.
Weird?
The basic plot here, to just to spell it out...
I guess we should do that, yeah.
Yeah, vaguely, like there is one. April O'Neil, it turns out that her father was, and William Fichtner, who turns up, because William Fichtner's agent has no shame.
No.
They had accidentally created the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles unknowingly, and she had rescued them and flushed them down the sewer, because that's what small children do. Jump years forward, she is a terrible, terrible TV host, whose job seems to involve jumping on trampolines in Times Square. Which was one of the most inexplicable sequences.
I don't know. Did anyone else kind of draw a parallel? It's like, oh, you're the reporter who only gets hired because of your tits, Megan Fox, in this movie.
Well, it was product placement for her tits.
Yeah. then she goes to find William Fichtner's character, who is this odd business plutocrat, like not really explained exactly what he does.
Nope.
And he goes and he's delivering this speech, and for some unknown reason... there's just a lot of heavy breathing from her during this.
It looks like she's getting turned
really
on by him.
Well, she constantly breathes out of her mouth. She's a mouth breather.
Mouth
it's not terribly shocking, but there's one scene in particular where he's giving a speech and just kind of catches her eye in the theater, and like in the
she's
audience,
looking at
and
nothing.
She's just sitting there going...
It's like, I think she's becoming aroused by this speech, you guys.
I must have you, William Fichtner.
At all, by the way. Totally, this is the first time
you're too busy staring at her.
I guess I was looking at her dead eyes. Yeah.
Well, what's funny is, as attractive as she is, I think a lot of people know she has these weird-looking thumbs.
Yeah.
I noticed one shot, she's holding a camcorder and it's over her shoulder. and her thumb was underneath the camera, almost like the director was like, hey, hide your creepy fishy thumb.
Yeah, there's a lot of close-ups of her holding cameras.
Well, you know, the Dead Eyes was even made more pronounced by the fact the CG actually looked pretty good, generally speaking, on the turtles. I mean, there wasn't an uncanny valley on the turtles.
There was an uncanny valley on Megan Fox. Yeah.
I was like, she looked like she just came back from a Botox treatment.
Yeah.
Like, just freshly. Her face was all like, our skin's all bunched up around her eyes. Like, are you trying to look Asian? I'm not sure what's happening.
You know, here. I'm trying not to pile on to Megan Fox too much because I know that's what Ed wants to do. But it's because it's like, how sad does your career have to be that you make this big statement and you make this big, basically gesture walking away from Michael Bay on the Transformer franchise just to come crawling back for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Obviously, things aren't going super well for Megan Fox.
Boy, this movie is bad, but the worst thing about it is Megan Fox, and that's considering how bad almost everything else is in here, that's really
I think it's like, neck and neck with the script, personally.
One of the challenges there, too, is, and we're, like, obviously we've kind of summed up the plot a little bit, but, like, she is the star. She's, like, the main character. And
for some reason.
I was really shocked by that, kind of, you know, the opening sequence, after, like, a ton of just narration from Splinter at the beginning, which is, like, really, like, every human from 3 to, like, 80 in this theater kind of knows what the ninja is.
Yeah, that's a good point, because this property has never actually gone away. They kept making new versions of the cartoons. Yeah. They kept putting out the toys. This is an evergreen. This is one of those weird instances where they've made a movie based on a property from our childhood that was still around when they made the movie.
Did you dodge away from a pun there?
I may have.
You almost said evergreen?
Yes, well, you know, evergreen and turtles and whatnot.
But it's also kind of one of those properties that, I mean, granted, they have an origin of sorts, but it's also kind of like Mickey Mouse. Like, nobody wonders where Mickey Mouse came from. You just know
Wouldn't that be weird with every Mickey Mouse cartoon? There was a whole sequence where Goofy's like, a long time ago, there was a magical formula.
According to the prophecy.
Well, so what did you guys actually think of the actual turtles themselves? Because we haven't gotten
The design of them is okay, except that for some unknown reason they took Donatello's like technical savvy and actually made him a nerd.
Well, they made him Egon from Ghostbusters.
They made him Egon, but it's like, even in the cartoon, that's what he did, but he wasn't useless in a fight, and there were a couple moments where they kind of made it seem like he was useless in a fight, which was really odd to me. And not only that, but the voice acting for those four turtles was atrocious. Just, like, when you have me pining for Corey Feldman, there's a problem.
I was so hung up on how bad what they were saying was, I couldn't even focus on how they were saying it.
Yeah.
It was about when the movie was almost done, it kind of occurred to me how bad the voices were. But yeah, just every word they were saying was pretty stupid.
The jokes. Oh my, and again, I want you guys to understand the gravity coming from me when I say, these are terrible jokes. These are awful, horrible jokes. It's not even that they're bad, they're like half jokes. Like, even if someone delivered them perfectly, there's no way that they work. They're, like, half-constructed. It's like, I think this is a joke, we'll just put it in there.
But that's very typical of Bay's films in general, where you get those jokes that are, like, they never really land.
Yeah.
Or they're, like, the beginnings of something that never pay off at all. Like, there was something going on with Megan Fox's roommate, and that was nothing at all. It was, like, not funny at all.
No, and that's the thing, is, like, I would rather groan when a joke is bad than have to sit there and go, what? Wait, what were they trying? What was the punchline?
And this leads us to the tragedy of Will Arnett.
Who should be doing better work than this.
And has done better work than this movie.
They play him up like he deserves to be punished somehow during the length of this movie just because he has the hots for Megan Fox, although is extremely polite about it, never does anything in this film that I did anything but just feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
I'm like going, and towards the end, they really fuck him, and you're like, seriously, man?
And then they just literally, the movie fucks him over and drives away. Yeah. That's the end of the film.
That's a real Michael Bay instinct, though, that there's a character who will get inexplicably picked on, and he does like blowing up like somebody's car or destroying somebody's car for no good reason because they're slightly prickish even though they're a good guy. Carl Meany.
Yeah.
In Con Air, exactly the same thing happens. His car gets destroyed for no good reason.
No, he's a giant prick. I'm sorry. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
He's a good guy.
But he's a giant prick.
Yeah. Whereas this is even worse because Will Arnett's like,
I'm convinced that Michael Bay is pissed off at Will Arnett about something, because I swear to God there's one scene where he's inexplicably wearing lipstick. There's a scene where he's making a sandwich and his lips are like neon pink, and I'm like, well, they're gonna like explain that he was making out with a girl or something. No explanation. There's just I'm like, really? No one's gonna explain why Will Arnett is wearing lipstick in this scene. Okay, fine.
I just kept looking at his sandwich he was making. I was hungry.
It did look tasty.
This is plainly obvious that he gave absolutely no shit about this movie.
No. Neither did the screenwriters, as it turns out,
I could have forgiven a lot if I thought that there was some sort of level of excitement to the fights. But I thought, on the whole, they were really poorly choreographed, which is weird considering it's all CG, so you're not relying on the physical capabilities of the actors. You know, I thought the fights were boring.
And incoherent. Yeah. There were several shots where I was like, I have literally no idea what was going on. And I really do wonder whether it's going to turn out in future years. This is like Spielberg and Tobe Hooper on Poltergeist. There's going to be a big argument about who directed it. Because
I said that exact same thing to Chris.
While things like Wrath of the Titans aren't very good, at least you can feel it's not the producer standing over his shoulder and going, no, do spinny shot. Do spinny shot.
Do spinny, do it!
There's a great video online proving why Michael Bay is actually master of the spinny shot. That explains why he does it so well, and everybody else who tries to do it like doesn't get what it is that he does. Oh, and you have like the spinny shot in here 10 times, and it's a master case of exactly how this guy did not know how to do this shit.
Yeah.
Everything's just subpar. It's subpar Michael Bay. And we just came out of Transformers Shitty 4.
Yeah.
And also, I'll step in, because I think I might have liked this a lot more than you guys.
Uh-oh. Not hard.
Now...
Get out.
I don't want to be the defender of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Too bad!
But I guess I'll take on that role. I'll step into those shoes briefly.
This movie will count on
like,
you to
because
protect
speaking
it.
of Transformers 4, like, the last time I was with you guys was actually in this very room as we were
you're bad luck, Ed.
We were together as one. We were like expressing our loathing for Transformers 4, and I'm like, man, this summer this has been pretty great, but if you look at Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Transformers 4, I mean, we just got out of like Casablanca compared to those two movies. Like, I genuinely think this movie is significantly better than those two. Sure, it's got a ton of similarities, but I think also, I don't know, to me, some of the action sequences were kind of visually impressive, and one thing that kind of popped into my mind as I was watching them was, like, they were completely devoid of any physical reality. Like, there were certain action sequences where we were seeing like 100% CGI. Like, I don't think there was like any, like, there's a huge truck action sequence that you've seen parts of in the trailer where they're kind of going down the side of a mountain. And that's probably where a lot of the camera work you guys were talking about was happening. I kind of thought it was pretty. There was like, it was super sunny and bright, and it was, you know, it was flowing shots, a lot of like constant camera work, like constantly moving. And I didn't think it was choppy. I thought it was very flowing. It was just all fake. It was like 100% not real. But it was an interesting thing to me to just reflect on the fact that we were watching like way bigger than life action sequences that were like completely unbound by any sense of like real gravity or reality in any way.
Yeah, this is the only film I can think of where irradiated turtles wielding samurai sword is actually the least scientifically wrong part of
thank you.
I'll say that snow sequence is probably the only sequence in the whole film that there's any fun to be had at all. Mm-hmm. It stops dead in the middle of it when inexplicably they have one of the turtles, I don't know which one's which, flips a truck with a bow stick.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that doesn't make any sense at all.
You're it's like trying to stop a freight train with a toothpick.
And they even call attention to it. He's like, oh, I've always wanted to do this. Like,
really?
Pay attention, kids.
How often does this situation come up for you that you would even have an opinion one way or the other on how much you wanted to do this?
Yeah, that sequence is fun, but to echo Chris's point about, like, the boringness of the fight scenes, I think the reason why is because the foot soldiers in here are true, like, soldiers that fight with guns. And so anytime a fight ensued, the turtles would be like, hey, we have bulletproof shells, and it was just turn around and back into them.
Or inexplicably,
they learned that
exhale.
They were
bulletproof. No, but then they exhale, and they can make bullets fly out of their chests, too. And I'm like, I don't think that's how turtles work.
That's a weird ability.
In right any there. Way, shape, or form. And you know what? I'm sorry. Like, I know immediately what people are going to say. What did you expect from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle film? And that kind of just indoctrinated lower expectations bullshit really gets on my nerves. Because mm-hmm. it's like, you know what? I'll give you an example. Every once in a while, yeah, I'll eat at a McDonald's. Fine. And I know that when I'd go in there, the person behind the counter doesn't give a shit. But the job is not difficult. And yet, when they fuck... And you guys, anyone listening to this that's ever been to a fast food restaurant where the person behind the counter is clearly, like, they're on their phone or they're clearly not giving a shit, and you drive away and everything in your order is wrong, you get upset about that. Why should you? I mean, what did you expect from somebody who didn't graduate high school and can't even use the computer correctly at a McDonald's? You went to a McDonald's, what'd you... I expect people to do their fucking jobs.
Yeah.
That's what I expect. And I expect the screenwriters who get paid a shit ton of money to write a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie to write a script that makes sense even within the confines of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
We're in the era now that the argument, well, what did you expect? It's a fill-in-the-blank.
Professionalism.
Doesn't hold water anymore. We've had one great superhero movie after another that 20 years ago you could have said, well, well, you know,
it's a superhero movie.
At least
expect?
We got a superhero movie. Yep. We got the Lego movie.
Thank you.
The Lego movie
I think
was one of the funniest movies of the year.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller have completely destroyed the argument forever of what did you expect. I expected people to try. That's
and,
what
and
I expected.
I will say, also, if it, you know, you got people going to go, well, what do you expect from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time. Actually, I will defend that film. The original version, the cinematic version of the franchise, the first one is kind of cheap and cheerful, but it's got some good stuff. Two's kind of goofy. But three, they went, you know, we haven't got the money to do the effects we did the first time around, but let's try a plot. Let's try some emotional content to this. And
so
they actually went to bat.
Never seen any of those.
That's the one where they travel through time.
Yeah, yeah, and they go
but
to...
is that generally considered the best of the original three?
No, only by me. No.
Richard is currently speaking something I've never heard in my life.
I actually quite like that one.
I mean, more power to him.
Because he's got never no heard that plot, either, but he makes an interesting point about there being a plot.
I never saw the third one because I've never heard a single good thing about it.
It's like the Karate Kid film where they went to Japan.
Hold on.
Some people like it, some people don't.
I want to point out the fact that the third one is also the only film in the franchise to feature British characters, which I think might be what certain people are watching on to. But here's the thing. All of the effects people are working their asses off in this movie, and I gotta give them credit for that, because yes, there are some visually stunning things. Unfortunately, there are also some editing choices that take a lot of those visual achievements and obscure them. I mean, the 3D in the dark when shit's explode. Like, there's so many things about this. Like, during that truck sequence we're talking about, I swear to God, there is a moment where if you look at the screen, they hurl Will Arnett under the wheel of the truck. And then in the next clip, he's just there again. And it's like, okay, that doesn't make sense. And then you actually, because of editing, see debris fall from the top of the building during the final fight and hit people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to see people run away from the debris so that you maintain that whole, like, there's no consequence for innocent people. But it's like, I kind of feel like the turtles right now are causing brain damage to a bunch of innocent people on the sidewalk because you cut to it too soon to the point where it looks like the debris is actually striking people in the head.
And I think that's what you were talking about. This is a case where it seems like they just didn't care enough.
No.
Or it was just the ghosting in the 3D, because that was...
It could very well be, but yeah, the ghosting was terrible. But it's like, then don't put the fucking movie in 3D. The only reason you're doing it is to make more money. There is no... like, artistic reason that you would choose 3D for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. I'm sorry, there's not. You're doing it to make money. So just don't do it if it doesn't look good.
Right.
Is it possible to make a truly great, like, oh my God, one of the best movies of the year, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the way you do that is, basically the way they thought they were doing it in this, is you do go self-aware, you go the Lego movie route. Because that's one of the things that works so well about the Lego movie, is it walked the line so well of being just in on the joke enough. And this movie thinks it's in on the joke, but the problem is it has no one in its cast, and it has a shit writer trying to get that across to the audience, and it just fails. So it comes off more like the Expendables, when they think they're in on the joke, and it's like, no, this is just fucking garbage.
Yeah.
That's what you've made here.
And to expand upon that question, like, I think... in this day and age, you can definitely make a great Ninja Turtles movie, because the first one, I think, still kind of holds up. The only thing that doesn't really hold up is the 30-year-old special effects, but...
I'm sorry, I would rather see, like, guys in suits, you know, and slightly outdated other effects than watch... I mean, again, and the CG in this is good, but, like, like Chris and some of the other guys are saying, like, there's just a lot of moments that aren't that exciting. Well, where it's like, if they're actual martial artists in suits, that's at least a kind of exciting fight sequence.
Yeah, I mean, if the suits would be better, but there's also, like, seeing what we can do with, like, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, like, seeing what you can do with performance capture, like, that kind of quality script from the original movie with that sort of effects could be a fucking awesome Ninja Turtles movie. And it, a little bit more of a dark tone and not quite so goofy as this one. Like, yeah, it could be a fucking awesome movie, but we'll probably never see that.
The best sequences in this movie are early on when they're still very much in the shadows, because when they strike the Foot Clan, they beat the shit out of the Foot Clan.
Yeah.
Like, Splinter at one point is on top of a guy just pummeling him to death.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's something. Like, that's actually really intense, and I like that. But then immediately it's followed by Michelangelo mouth-farting a joke that doesn't work.
And that's kind of the problem why you'll never see a movie like the first one again, because parents complained that was too violent, and that's why we got the second movie in which the Turtles never even used their weapons.
Yeah, that's true. That was bullshit. But it did introduce us to Ernie Reese Jr., so at least there's that.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So does that... Okay, besides Ed, who is very much a fan of this film somehow.
Hey, no, that's not what I said.
That's literally what you said.
No, I said I'm a way bigger fan than any of us in this room.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you under the truck like Will Arnett for, for a moment of 3D ghosting there, but yeah.
Yeah, you cracked my shell there.
I was wondering, you know, we avoided shell puns until well into the 20-minute mark, so congratulations,
and
everybody.
And it wasn't you somehow.
And it wasn't me! Holy shit. But we are back in the pun sewer where we belong.
No one's even said yet, I like turtles.
I like turtles! Yeah, I said that a lot during the movie because it was about the amount of intelligence that I would have had to have. In fact, that kid with his 1,000-yard stare and his apparent lack of grasp of anything real kind of sums up this movie in a lot of ways. Like, he is Megan Fox's dead-eyed stare, and he is this movie's complete lack of ability to play by its own rules. Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to spoil something here. I'm sorry, guys. Spoiler. There's a thing at the end where it's like, we can't let this canister hit the ground. If this tower topples over and the canister hits the ground, these are the words in the script, it will kill everyone in a 10-block radius. It hits the ground, and nothing happens.
Well, because the bad guy's...
It's never addressed.
Because the bad guy's already been defeated, so...
So, I guess we don't need to worry about the fact that it totally did that thing that you said would kill everyone in a 10-block radius.
Yeah, he had a thing set up so that if he dies, that the thing doesn't blow up.
No, no. There is no explanation whatsoever.
Anti-James Bond villain trick.
Oh. And Megan Fox, I'm sorry, like... The script goes out of its way to just beat you over the head with exposition like you're one of the foot soldiers in its Splinter. And yet, there's that moment in every... It wraps up every exposition scene with Megan Fox going, I get it! And then re-explaining what we've just seen! And I'm pretty sure she was explaining it to herself so that she did actually get it. I really think she's an imbecile. Like, I really think there is nothing going on in her tiny little head.
You heard her already defending the film.
Right? I'm sure.
She made a statement basically saying, well, you know, we, like, there's lots of people out there who see these movies. Transformers 4 made a lot of money, too, and this will as well. So if you don't like it, then go fuck off. And it's like, how was that defending the movie?
As long as we're making money, it's okay, which is basically exactly the Enron defense. Way to go, bitch. Oh, my God.
I returned Jennifer's body.
Shut up! Shut up, Ed. Shut up, Mikey. Yeah, all right.
I like that scene in Transformers where she's fixing the car.
Wait.
Highlight of her career.
Wait, there was a car in that scene? Oh, okay. Good to know.
There was
I actually did think it was a bike for a second. I completely forgot everything that was going on around that. I was just like, there was cut-off shorts, and, like, Michael Bay did not want us to care.
I'm reminded of a line from Entourage where Ari Gold tells someone, don't think, honey, it's bad for your complexion. Yeah, that's Megan Fox. Shall we go to final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
All right, I'm gonna start with Ed.
I was gonna say I maybe should kick this off,
and then we'll just go down.
So you guys can just jump all over me. I didn't love this movie. I think it holds up quite well in comparison to Transformers 4 and Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like I said, I think some of it was very pretty. I agree with Brian that I really liked I actually liked the design of the turtles a lot for how much the internet was freaking out about lips and how much I was kind of with them on that. I kind of like the design of the turtles. I think it's very 2014 to just make them superheroes. And I think, like, I want to put a spin on Brian's passionate argument against saying that, you know, what did you expect? I don't want to say what did you expect, but I do want to say that I feel very strongly that this is, like, geared towards, like, 10-year-olds. And I think 10-year-olds will probably dig this. And I think we as adults had a lot more problems with it than your average 8-year-old will. And I think 8-year-olds will be into it. And maybe when they grow up...
Is the age going to keep going down as your review
goes? Yes, I did say
6-year-olds. 6-year-olds for sure.
I do think, like...
6-year-olds, you know, and Megan Foxes.
I was about that age when the first Ninja Turtles movie came out, and I think that movie holds up. Whereas I think 10-year-olds now will grow up, and when they're 30, they'll be like, oh, man, that Ninja Turtles movie I liked so much when I was a kid. It's not all that. You know what I mean? But I do think kids will love it, and they'll keep selling toys. There was stuff that I really didn't like. I really didn't like that April O'Neil was the main character. That was just kind of... I was like, man, the Ninja Turtles need to be the main characters. Come on. Like, that kind of bugged me. And I also really, as much as I liked the design of the Ninja Turtles, I really didn't like Splinter. He looked real weird. He just looked... he looked, like, terrible as a CGI creation, whereas the other ones looked pretty good. I don't know if it was just his skin. Something weird. I didn't like the way he looked. I didn't like the way he sounded. And, anyway, so...
That was Tony Shalhoub, by the way. I don't know if
that's who that was. Yeah. I couldn't figure it out, but I was like, why isn't he Japanese? I don't know. This is a problem. The one of the biggest problems to me was... Not the whole origin as a whole. There's been, obviously, the internet's been freaking out about that, and I think whatever, who cares? I don't care that much about the origin, except the one little part I won't go into huge spoilers on, but like kind of how they learn martial arts is possibly the worst thing in the entire movie.
Yeah.
I looked it up on YouTube.
Yeah, basically, more or less. I can't possibly get as worked up about this movie as Brian has. Like, there's just nothing I'm as passionate about. Like, I didn't hate it anywhere near as much as any of you guys. I didn't love it. I think it's relatively harmless, whereas if someone tried to tell me that Transformers 4 was harmless, I would have to, like, have a sit-down talk with them about, like, how that's not accurate. So, I would give it, like, a solid... I'll just go, like, straight down the middle with, like, a 5 out of 10. I guess I think Dead Eyes are hot.
You gotta watch this guy, okay?
We're keeping you clear of the mortuary from now on.
I didn't say talented, I just said hot.
Hey, how long would Megan Fox have to be dead for you to not...
That's a whole different scale of ratings, Casey.
Ed's having all the necrophiles.
Ed, give me some time to answer that question.
Ed is the only person I know who thinks that Necromantic and Necromantic 2 is the feel-good hit of the summer.
All right, Rich A.L.
I could not find it in my heart to hate this as much as I hated Transformers 4, which is my nadir of summer filmmaking.
That's why we're sharing this couch.
That's because we had a whole extra hour of stuff to share.
Yeah. We would still be watching it if it was Transformers.
I will agree with Ed that this film will appeal to undemanding zygotes.
The age has now dropped down to fetal.
I love the fact that we have had terrapins and zygotes popping into the lexicon of this review.
Thank you. Upping the scale. This film did not know where it wanted to pitch itself. It took, you know, best part of 30 years of turtle mythology and tried to do all of it at the same time, which is impossible because it's too disparate. And it came out as nothing. It had a leading actress who has increasingly proven to not be an actress. She has zero charisma. The turtle design I was actually okay with. Like everybody else, I was initially like, eh, it's not going to work. But I like the fact they were kind of like, they went, let's make them bigger, which is kind of cliched. Although it did remind me of when they did the first range of when they bought the Star Wars figures back. And there was the famous ape-faced Princess Leia. Because they made her weirdly muscly, and she looked like a guy. And it was just like, it kind of reminded me of that. It was like, you're trying too hard.
I'm going to stop you there. Nobody in this movie was trying too hard.
Oh, I think somebody in production was. They were trying to make up for the fact that everything else was going wrong. This is just dumb, boring, offensively lazy filmmaking at a point where there's no excuse for that, because it knows it's going to coast by on some... post-Guardians of the Galaxy cash. I am giving this 2.5 tears in Will Arnett's eye.
Aww. That's sad.
So I think I'm in agreement with everyone as far as, like, the look of the turtles is better than we thought it was going to be. And the first fight scene when the foot kind of breaks into their lair and we see, like, Splinter actually get in on the fighting, like, that scene was really cool and it made me have hope for the rest of the movie. Everything before then was just super silly exposition-y shit that, for whatever reason, they felt they needed to tie everything up into a weird coincidence bow. Like, out of all the millions of people that live in New York City, everyone involved in this story has been intimately involved with each other their entire life.
With Megan, like, Fox specifically, which was true of New York City, from what I hear.
Hey-o!
I also co-sign on that. That is very frustrating.
and that's also kind of ripped out of Amazing Spider-Man. That was my biggest problem with it. At that first cool fight scene aside, everything since then, every word out of the turtle's mouth was just, I hated more and more. Just a completely disappointing experience overall. And in the end, I would give it 4 out of 10 freaky Megan Fox thumbs.
I think I'm the only guy in this room who doesn't really have a firm bonding point at any point in my history with the Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. We get it, you're old. Oh my god.
We know.
I'm the same old as
bonding points.
I'm the same age as Richard.
Yeah, but look how cool he is.
Aw.
Thank you.
He knows the word terrapin.
Terrapins and zygotes. There you go.
I'm from Maryland, I know about terrapins.
I mean, I read the original black and white comic books when they came out, and I remember going, oh, this is a cute idea. You know, it's a parody of the X-Men, what have you. But it's for adults. It's kind of fun. And forgot about it until the cartoon started, and then it was fucking everywhere. It was hard to get a pizza on a Friday night for a while there. But speaking of pizza, is that pizza coming?
I know, I'm watching. You know, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Yeah, we ordered it from Pizza Hut. It's never coming.
Yeah.
I'll get pep on my pizza, but I didn't get any pep from this movie because I was bored throughout this. I was bored like I was with Transformers 4 for many of the same reasons. Many of the same stylistic ticks are here. They're just not... God help me for saying this. They're not done as well or professionally as they are in Transformers 4.
You think about what you said.
I know. But that doesn't make them good in the first place. And Transformers 4 is like an hour and a half or 9 hours or something longer than this was. So I at best, I was admiring the fact that I thought the Turtles did look cool. Because of my lack of connection to these characters, I'm like, I don't really see what anybody's having a problem with the way they look. They actually look pretty good to me. They look better than anything I had seen them in previously. So I was like, okay, I'm enjoying that, but that can only last for 10 minutes or so before you're like, when are they going to do something cool or say something cool? And the answer is never, because this movie is just predictable and dull and not funny. And, you know, you can make the argument, Ed, that like, okay, but this would be great for little 10-year-olds. But the truth is 10-year-olds like anything that's bright, flashy, colorful, and moves quickly. It's like I always like to say, well, that's not really a viable defense of a film to say 10-year-olds are going to like it. There's lots of movies made for 10-year-olds that are also made for adults to enjoy as well. This is not made for adults to enjoy as well, with the exception of Megan Fox's boobies jumping up and down on the trampoline. I have a feeling I'll have completely forgotten about this film by next week. I'm going to give it 2 out of 10 pepperoni pizzas that I hope are on the way.
All right. Yeah. Now, respectfully, and I do not want to pile on to Ed, because he predicted that I would do that exactly.
But you're going to do that.
But I'm
going to
do that.
Totally.
Here's my problem with... I understand what you're saying, but here's my problem with the... You know, and the only reason I take exception to that argument is because basically it seems like I'm being mean to the movie. But here's the thing. I understand that little kids like little kid things, but I'm just confused as to at what point a 6-year-old is going to really latch on to the I'm a reporter hitting the glass ceiling because I'm over-sexualized, or the completely vicious corporate magnate who's decided to manipulate the pharmaceutical industry so that he can become slightly more rich. That's his overall plan, is to make... He's literally like, I'm going to be rich. And I'm like, you're already rich.
Yeah,
are the richest man in this fucking town.
But he's not stupid rich.
Yeah, and his entire plan is to make a little bit more money by killing millions of people. okay, apparently kids are going to really, like, as much as kids love trade embargoes in episode one, they're really going to flip for manipulating the pharmaceutical industry to make a little bit more money to hedge your hedge fund.
Well, we are living in the Gordon Gekko age now, where you can't have a criminal who's like, haha, I'm going to kill 50 people and I'm going to make $100 million, because people will go, yeah, I'd probably do that too. You have to have a criminal who's like, yeah, I'm going to make $50 million and kill 100 million people.
But there's no reason. There's nothing about that that a kid is going to latch onto. There, on the other hand, it speaks to a completely juvenile mindset of the screenwriter.
Yeah, Ed.
And not only that, but I think the kids are really going to latch onto the joke at the end of the movie where they play a song by the group The Turtles, because kids love, you know, I Can't See Me Loving Nobody But You from the 60s. That's their favorite song. Every six-year-old I know is listening to that day and night.
I really love that song.
There is a lot in this movie that makes me think that they really did think that they were making a movie that, hey, the adults will like it too. No, they won't. No, they will not, because you are all terrible at your jobs. And as much as I do like the design of the turtles, why do they have to have human eyes? That's so creepy. I don't understand why they have to have, like, big, really realistic human eyeballs. It's like, they can be, like, even if they were just, like, white flashes behind the mat, I don't care. It's just, it's creepy that they're staring at me. Why is it staring at me?
You want them to be more like Megan Fox eyes?
Yes. They were more alive than Megan Fox's actual human eyes. That is a problem. Overall, I think I'm going to have to give this movie 2 out of 10 fired Whoopi Goldberg agents.
Oh, man.
Because she is... I don't know why she's in this movie.
Guinan, no!
Why the hell is Whoopi Goldberg in this movie? Can someone explain this to me?
Because she needed a paycheck.
I would rather have seen Pizza Face, Baxter Stockman, Rocksteady, Bebop, Ace Duck, PandaCon, Yosagi Ojimbo, you name it. I was familiar with this property as a kid, but I went into this movie with absolutely no expectations whatsoever. I was completely middle of the road because I realized that this property has been mutated again and again and again. It's like it started off as a comic book that was very much a satire and was very dark and turned into a cartoon show that was a little bit lighter, okay, and then there were toys, and then there was this version, and then there was this version. So it's like it's already – you've had iteration after iteration after iteration. I went into this with no expectations, and I was still disappointed. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, Ed.
I can't even muster up, like, a sincere cowabunga right now. I wanted to end this review on a cowabunga, and I can't even muster up the energy to do a sincere cowabunga.
More like cowadunga.
There it is.
Or something.
There it is, folks.
Yeah, Ed.